There was a Christian woman at church, and she met this elderly man from Germany. And, well, he lived during the time of the Holocaust. And she had an interesting conversation with the guy. And she gives her experience of the situation there. So I'm just going to kind of read to you what her experience is and a little bit of her comments. The elderly German man came up to her and said, "I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I consider myself a Christian. I attended church since I was a small boy. We had heard the stories of what was happening to the Jews, but like most people today in this country, we tried to distance ourselves from the reality of what was really taking place. What can anybody do to stop it? A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning we would hear the whistle from a distance and then the clacking of the wheels moving over the track. We became disturbed one Sunday. We noticed cries coming from the train as it passed by. We grimly realized that the train was carrying Jews. They were like cattle in those cars. After a week, that train whistle blew. We would dread to hear that sound of those old wheels because we knew that the Jews would begin to cry out as they passed by our church. It was so terribly disturbing. We could do nothing to help those poor, miserable people, yet their screams tormented us. We knew exactly at what time the whistle would blow, and we decided the only way to keep from being disturbed by the cries was to start singing our hymns. By the time that train came rumbling past the churchyard, we were singing at the top of our voices. If some of the screams reached our ears, we'd just sing a little louder until we could hear them no more. Years have passed, and no one talks about it much anymore. But I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear them crying out for help. God, forgive us all who called ourselves Christians, yet did nothing to intervene. Their screams tormented us. And if their screams reached our ears, we'd just sing a little louder. So many years later, it is now, I see it happening all again over in America. God forgive you as Americans, for you have blocked out the screams of millions of our own children. The Holocaust is here. The response is the same as it was in my country. Silence. Have you ever wondered how people could have stood by and let the Holocaust just happen? Have you wondered why the Christians in those many years ago chose to just sing and praise their God a little louder to drown out the victims' cries? The old man's experience in the past cannot be changed. It is easy to think that we could act differently now. But the old man's last words were haunting. It's happening all over again in America with abortion. The Holocaust is here. Some people might think it's a little harsh to compare abortion with the Holocaust. I think it's very appropriate. We're approaching the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. 40 years ago, January 22nd, 1973. Why is it appropriate? The Nazis killed 60 million people in the Holocaust. 56 million have died from abortion. We're only 4 million short from killing more people than the Nazis and Hitler. It's easy to point the finger out to those Germans. What are we doing? 56 million. This is from the Guttmacher Institute. This is not something we make up. 56 million. What that boils down to is $1.5 million babies a year in the United States alone, 3,900 abortions a day, 148 abortions an hour, one abortion every 24 seconds, statistically speaking. One out of four women have had an abortion. 56 million babies aborted since Roe versus Wade represents one-third of the entire population gone dead. One-third. I normally don't like to do this. I hate putting people on the spot to gain attention or anything like that. But I would ask one favor from you in the pew just for 10 seconds. Anybody who was born after January 22nd, 1973, I ask you to stand. Just please stand for 10 seconds. I ask you to look. One-third of that population is gone. We wonder why there is not many youth today in the pews. We would have one-third more here today. You may be seated. Children, how many kids do you have in your classroom today? Do you have 20 children in your classroom today? There should have been 30. How many children do you have, parents? Do you have at least three that would have been married? What about their spouse? Were they aborted? The one that they were supposed to marry? One-third of the population have gone across the board. Would they have married that person? The person that God meant them to marry? Maybe we didn't commit an abortion. Maybe we weren't involved in abortion. But what about our children? Have they had an abortion? Have their spouses encouraged abortion and have been a product or now suffering from an abortion? What about our grandchildren? Have they had an abortion? What about their cousins? Are their cousins gone? How many cousins do you have? Is it more than three? There probably was another one that was should be there. Born since 1973. We cannot simply say that we have not been affected by it. An entire third of the population is missing, has been killed. In all this, for me, I always have to ask the question. There was a time when I was not too active in the pro-life movement, in speaking up, at least, in praying. But there came a point in time where I had to point the finger at myself. I had to say to my nephews and nieces, my one brother has five children, my other brother has three. And I think they're working on another, so that would have been nine. How can I stare at them in the face? How can I look at my nieces and nephews and know how much I care about them and love them and say, you know what? I don't want to do anything about this. I don't care that your future spouse could have been aborted, could be dead. I don't care that when you were born, the politician said it was okay for you had been killed. How can I look at them in the face and still have a clean conscience? We all know when we point to those Germans in Germany, we point to them and say, you're culpable of this because you agreed to this. You said nothing. Yet at the same time, we know that they would have been killed if they said something. What excuse do we got? We have nothing. What will we get at the most? Somebody will be angry with us and holler a whole bunch of bad words at us? We are responsible. And as Catholics, particularly, we are all the more responsible. Too many of us have abandoned our ways and rebelled against the church and called it righteous. We have bucked against God and wonder why he isn't there. But thank God, he is so incredibly merciful. One out of four women have had an abortion. If you have had an abortion, run to the arms of Jesus. Receive his mercy. He loves you, and he will forgive you. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. He wants to embrace you. Now is the time that we can honor these children and your children. If you are a father who have lost your child through abortion, if you pushed this woman into abortion, go to confession, repent, and honor that child today. Honor the person of that child. If we reject the teachings of the church that there is a person there in the womb, then we're no better than those people 70, 80 years ago who said Jews were not persons. We're no better than those slave owners who said those black men were not persons. Basically, what we do is we reduce these little babies to subhumans. That's not right. And when we do that, we cannot say that we are a practicing good Catholic. And I beg of you not to receive communion because you will be in grave danger when it comes time to enter into heaven, because you just might not get there. We cannot deny our brothers and sisters their personhood, their dignity, and silence them before they even have a voice. Life comes before the poor. The Pope has said that. Because without life, there is no poor to serve. There are no rights if you don't have life. And so we snuff out the rights of other people by snuffing out the primary right, the first right that is before all other rights, the right to life. And if we can snuff out the right to life at its conception, what is to say we cannot snuff out the right to life at the grave? Hitler started with euthanasia and then worked on abortion. In America, we started with abortion and now working on euthanasia to kill those people, babies or elderly, who we deem useless, who we deem as non-persons. We have an obligation. We have an obligation not just to sit here, but to do something. We have to be active as Catholics to get rid of the scourge of abortion, to let our politicians, particularly our Catholic politicians, know that you cannot be pro-murder of the womb and pro-Catholic. As soon as you kill babies in the womb, whether they're Catholics or not, you are anti-Catholic, and you are working with the anti-church, with the anti-Christ, period. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to be active in this? What is God calling you to do in your own heart to make sure that the Roe v. Wade law gets overturned, that our future generations may be safe, that once again the womb can be the safest place on earth, not the most dangerous place?